1, 2, 1, 2. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 1, 2. Give me a 1, 2.
1 and a 2.
There you go. What's up, Mariam Tazi?
What's going on? No intro, like intro music or anything?
There is an intro. What are you talking about? Let's just take that again because I'm going to do all that in post, all right? Because I don't have time to mess around because you're...
Okay,
ready? Hold on. Let's take it from the top again.
You have to tell me these things. You can't just be like... there's no light. Like, you have to tell me.
There is a light. What are you talking about?
What's the light?
It says on air. Look right up in the sky. It says,
yeah, on like...
It. All right, ready. You want music? 3, 2, 1. There's your music. How you like me now? Mariam Tazi, let's take it from the top again. How are you doing?
How you doing, Malcolm?
I'm doing good. Malcolm who?
Riddle.
That's right. Malcolm who?
Mariam Tazi.
No.
Malcolm I said Riddle.
You're all over the place today. Look at her. She's
Lord.
She's out of whack, people. I got to keep her on her toes. So thanks for tuning in. Yeah, it's an unconventional start, but we're an unconventional podcast.
I got confused.
It's easy to happen. Plus, you're drinking a little bit, too.
Already.
Yeah. Got a little Prosecco.
It's good.
Spelled with a P-R-O.
How else would you spell it?
S-E-C-C-O. Prosecco. You know what I mean? Mm.
It's fresh.
It's nice, huh?
Yeah. It's
What's the name of it? I can't see the label.
De Paolo.
Yeah, De Paolo.
Yeah.
It's a little Fizzante. Vino Fizzante from Veneto. Right?
I believe so. I don't know. You know.
What other place is it going to come from?
That's
a little
true.
Italian juice for you. Yeah, I took this out. Been out, people going door to door selling wine. That's why, for those of you tuning in, I took off last week because I was just up to my head, right?
Up to
Isn't
my
that
neck.
The saying? Up to my neck. Mm. I'm so foreign.
Up to my head.
I'm really up foreign. I'm like a cab driver, huh? Is that offensive? Is it? I don't know these things.
I don't know what you mean. You know, there are foreign cab drivers. Yeah. Yes.
Well, you know, in the movies, as some are depicted, they get the sayings wrong. Is that right or wrong to say
foreigners
they?
Do?
Okay.
I'm considered in that too. It's funny that you're American and you do it anyway. So it's not just a foreigner thing, obviously.
Yeah. This is American Riddle, so I am American.
Exactly. Mm. Well, I am too.
But I still get it wrong. But I've been up to my neck and stuff. And I want to thank you guys for tuning in. Sorry I didn't post anything to warn you that I'd be off last week. But I'm sure you guys may or may not have missed me. I'll be more cautious in the future about that. Yeah, it's a little background noise. But that's okay because I'm not turning the AC down in the studio. Because if I turn the AC down, I'll be sweating bullets about 30 minutes into the podcast. So deal with it, people.
It's not so bad.
But I do appreciate you guys tuning in. We appreciate you tuning in for another episode, coming off the great episode with Nicer from the Tatch crew.
That was so great.
Yeah.
I was so mesmerized.
Yeah.
I really loved doing that. That was
great.
Well,
you know, producer extraordinaire, restaurateur Rick Marrero
put
it together.
Yeah, he hooked it up.
And he's got a couple other things up his sleeves. He's got Prince Pat, I think that's his name, and he's got breakdancing legend. Coming up too, I think. Well, I'm not going to even get into it, but he's got a few people lined up from the Bronx and New York and
That's
representing hip hop. So we've got some exciting stuff that I'm looking forward to. And as we get closer, I'll share the details with you. But for now, yeah, we're tasting a nice Prosecco. It's good season for it. It's 100 degrees out.
Yeah, it's perfect timing. Perfect timing.
You want something light and crisp and refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. So Yeah, this is nice. I take this out door to door. When I take these samples out, I want to at least justify making at least one sale.
The sample.
Yeah, at least a case. Come on, but I usually like to go a little bit, deeper into that. But I managed to get some hits off of it yesterday and today. Rick Marrero actually picked it up.
Cool.
For Desiderio by the Glass. So,
nice.
Yeah, that'd be a cool little feature. So if any of you guys are out in Gainesville, VA, stop in and get a little Prosecco.
Mm-hmm.
That's
really good.
Coming down to the end of the summer, the kids are about to get out of school. My son is about to get out of school, Justin, so he's excited.
Of course. Ugh, I miss having, how many months off? 2, 3,
he's growing 4? He's growing his hair out. It's all over the place. He wants to get a mohawk. Yeah, so I'm like, man, come on, man.
This is when you want to cut it short.
That's what I'm talking about. But, yeah, he wants to get a mohawk.
He wants to be trendy.
Yeah. It's an amazing thing. Because
he did the faux hawk before, didn't he? For like a minute.
Yeah. He's done it. But I'm just, enough. The mohawk.
It's a lot of maintenance, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So he's happy about that. He shared some news with me, though. He recently tried out for a drama, and he auditioned for a Shakespearean play.
Aw, really?
Yeah. Don't ask me to play. I kind of tuned out. But the
that's very supportive.
No. I've been very supportive and been kind of encouraging him to take the step into drama. And, do more with on the creative side, because he's very creative. And he tried out for a Shakespearean play. I can't remember the name of
it. That's hard.
But he got the role. And
aww.
So we were playing basketball the other day, and we were on the court, and I was just dropping J's from downtown. I was destroying the kid. You know what I mean? I was breaking him down like a shotgun. I was just killing him. Murdering him, I took him to the hole.
It sounds so bizarre that you say that when it's a child.
What do you mean? I'm supposed to win. It's a competition.
See how long that'll last.
It's a competition.
He'll beat you very soon. Very. Didn't you say that you were pretty close, weren't you?
He's got a couple moves.
There you go.
He's got a couple moves.
He's catching up.
Yeah. Well, that's why I got to take it to him while I can to get these victories.
Yeah, but. Murdered him.
Oh man, I was
dominated.
Aggressive. I rub it in too. I don't let him. Like, I think most parents usually let their kids win and to build self-esteem.
And you're like, no.
I shut that shit down. I shut it
down.
How
does he react to that? Does he defend himself?
Yeah, he tries. And then I just shake him again and just keep on breaking him down. He's got to know. And better he learn from me than some stranger.
Yeah.
He'll find out that the ones that are going to break you down the most and the worst are the ones you love.
That's
so true. You better get that taste right now. That way he's used to it, and then when he goes on the court of life, he's able to handle it. You know what I mean?
So much wisdom.
Yeah, a great man said life dictates how you handle defeat is how you'll handle success.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I think Spock said that in Star Trek. I think Spock or Kirk. Somebody said it. I think it was Spock. Could have been Savick. I don't know.
Look it up.
Look it up, my fellow Trekkies. So I took the boy to the bridge, broke him down, and then he hit me up and said he got the part on the play, and he recited some Shakespearean. He knew all his lines.
Wow,
was
that's
like, boom,
tough,
ba-boom,
man.
Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. Yeah, he said it. I wish I could say it. I couldn't even. I've never gone out for a play.
We had
or anything
to learn
like
some
that.
Parts of it too for school. Ugh.
Yeah, he did it. So he was good. Actually, he did.
When's the play?
It already came and went. Yeah, Pops missed it. That's what I said. I was like, were the parents invited? Well, yeah, I always catch things on the tail end. But it was more for the class. It was for the class.
Oh, it wasn't for like...
No, it wasn't like a big show. It was more for the class. So, yeah.
But it's a beginning.
Mm.
It's cool that they have that in his school.
It is, yeah.
Not many schools even have that kind of program anymore.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's going into the seventh grade now, so he's happy to be out of that. Yeah, and I was like, I told him yesterday, I was like, "Yeah, going into middle school, huh, Dad? I'm already in middle school," and he shakes his head at me. And of course, I have to do the count on
old news,
the fingers
Dad.
Thing. Like, oh yeah, middle, but seventh grade, big deal. Why do you say that? You'll find out.
Oh,
you'll find out.
I don't know what you mean.
Titties.
It depends on the girls. Some of them already have them.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, ew. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So fucking creepy. I mean, yeah. That was disgusting.
Ew. I mean, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
God damn, is this thing recording?
Yes. But no, no, that's the thing. Some girls are getting that stuff like early.
Blame it on the Prosecco. But yeah, yeah. It's exciting, so it's good. He's doing his thing, and he's growing into his own. And yeah, he's
it's good to build confidence. That's another way to build self-esteem, since he's not getting it on the courts.
I gotta break him down. I gotta break him down every way, any way possible. I just gotta show him the real stuff. Plus, this is the stuff that he's gonna ascertain. This is the stuff he's gonna remember. You know what I mean? Like 10, 20 years from now, I did with him at 3 or 4 or 5 years old. You know, they don't remember that stuff. Few and far between. I did when I lost my boot, I told you the story about how I lost my boot in the cement when I was like 5 years old. The guy had fresh cement on the side of the road. You know, when you guys are, you know, when the guy's paving and he's putting the cement down, and he had like a bucket of cement. It's funny how I say that. And I came
glad
walking
you
up.
You caught yourself because I was going to say something, but
yeah,
you kept going.
Cement,
with.
Right? Cement. Who says that? So, the guy. What are the guys called to do that? What are they?
Contractors.
Yeah, cement people, right?
I don't know.
Mason or something, aren't they? Something. Jesus, you're talking to
Masons.
You're
probably
listening to the wrong podcast if you're going to learn about industry right now, people. Anyway, the guy was doing the cement thing that he does with the flat iron thingy.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called.
Whatever. Making it.
He had
level.
A bucket. Yeah, he had a bucket there of the cement. And I was kind of wondering, do, 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 do. I must have had a cowboy outfit on because I have my favorite cowboy boots. Pretty sure I had a brown vest, maybe even tassels on it. And
you love tassels.
So I came wandering up to it and saw the wet cement, saw it on the ground, looked at it. I think I even put a stick in it on the pavement just to see. But I saw the big bucket of it. So I was like, this would be interesting. So I stuck my whole foot in it and it submerged. And when I pulled it out, nothing but my white sock. That's it. That's it. And it stayed in there. I couldn't get it out. And I just ran home. You know what I mean? A little, like, you know, maybe Lizzie. A 56-pound Malcolm Riddle with the same size head. You know, jeez. Adult head on a 56-pound boy. Yep. Just ran home. No boot. My favorite pair of boots. So that's what happened. That's why I said the boots, people. But.
Aww.
Yeah, enough about that stuff, man. I'm telling you, it ain't easy. It is not easy. So yeah, I just been out, hitting the trails, DC, Virginia, Maryland, selling wine, and starting now. It's funny because it's starting to pick up. Whereas, you know, it's more a territory that's building where I have to go to these weekly accounts again. So it's just like old times. You know what I mean? And a lot of them are old customers. And
they must be happy to see you.
Yeah. They're pleased, no doubt. Well, I mean, people in this business or any business, you want to do business with people that you like, correct?
Well, that's the ideal situation. Yes.
Yeah. You know, and you know, we're there to help each other and you know, have some fun, make some money.
That's the best.
That's it. So, It's good. It's good. The Mangria is going well. We should have the Brosé in, excuse me, Prosecco's getting me.
What's the bubbles?
The Mangria Brosé should be hitting the Virginia market soon, so I'm excited about
sweet.
That. But just overall, it's well received. It's well received.
Yeah. It's flying off the shelves. We've got people driving from everywhere.
Adam Carolla has, for those of you listening, it may not caught up on the podcast, but I represent Adam Carolla's signature cocktail wine called Mangria. And, he's got a very strong following in this area, very strong presence. So it helps, but at the end of the day, it takes a lot of follow through. You can't just, you know, put something on the shelf and, you know, well, I have to say that you can put his wine on the shelf and it'll disappear. I mean, it's been, you guys at the Vienna Vintner, how's that been?
Oh my God, we sell so much of it. It's unbelievable. Yeah, we can't keep it in stock. We've had to like hold back sometimes because we just don't have much. We like limit sales on certain for certain people, you know, be like, we can't sell you a case. We have to sell you 6 months.
You hear that, people? And that's Miriam Tazi. She works at the Vienna Vintner in Vienna, Virginia.
I do.
And, yeah, that's a testimonial.
It's true, yeah. though. We're going through tons of cases, but Brosé's next. We don't have that yet, so we're waiting for
Brosé
that.
Brosé should be in, I think, at the end of this month, I think.
Cool.
It's yeah.
We
it's,
need it for the summer.
So that'd be good to Summertime. Hit August, July, August, hopefully, and kill it.
It's so refreshing. This is definitely the time to drink it.
Yeah, put it on ice, chill it, and kill it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I say.
Yep.
Yeah, but like I said, he's got a built-in audience. Now, there are some accounts that I've gone through That's where it's cool. been some pushback, like, you know, it doesn't fit our customers. And I'm like, yeah, you don't understand.
They don't get it because we didn't expect it not to be like, we just didn't know. You know, we didn't know if Vienna really was the crowd, but people will come. People will come. Once they know it's there, they will come. So it helps us too, because then we can sell other stuff to them.
Yeah, and it's been taken off throughout Virginia and Maryland, and now got a client in D.C., and that should start spreading soon as well. I went door to door, and I hit up some customers, and so far, just one pushback. A funny story, and we talked about this a little bit offline, where I went in, and this particular store just didn't agree with Adam Carolla's politics. And yeah, it caught me off guard because I went there on Thursday or a week ago and set the appointment up. And he said, just come back Monday morning, 9 o'clock. So getting in D.C. at 9 o'clock in the morning is a task, let me tell you. So I had to get up super early, drive in, sit in traffic for about 45 minutes, finally get into the heart of D.C., downtown D.C., and then walk into the client's facility. It's a restaurant kind of bar. And, I wouldn't expect it. It's early in the morning, first client. I usually don't even show stuff that early. Yes. But I was there, so I had to wait on them. And then I noticed the staff started gathering around me. You know what I mean? And I was like, no big deal. I was like, oh, I'll wait. I'll wait a few minutes for the buyer to get in. He was running some errands in the morning. So, no big deal. So as soon as he came in, I was like, I got the wines. Let's taste through them really quick. He's like, sure, no problem. So I started setting them up on the bar. Then I set them up, and I pull out some of my, flyers, point of sales material, and, you know, get ready to kind of hit it. Tell them who Adam Carolla is. Man, these jokers already knew who Adam. I think they know Adam, but they really don't. And I get that with a lot of people, and I from a lot of the news articles I see on Huffington Post and other organizations, when they print stuff, they're just little sound bites or clips.
Out of context.
Exactly. And being that I listen to the podcast, I'm able to put any of the comments or jokes into context. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense.
It makes a big difference.
But unfortunately, with journalism the way it is today, please have some more Prosecco, Miriam. I can keep talking.
I'm just asking.
You don't need permission, please. Help yourself.
I don't know if you need the bottle for at It's tasty.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Good gosh. So the
calling me out, man.
The with Adam, it's he seems to be a target when it comes to controversy. I don't know if journalism just is that lazy when doing research, or they're just that starved for stories and attention.
I think it's a little, it's definitely this. People are looking for controversy right now.
Yeah.
It's just people are just really trying to nitpick at what you say and what you do and, you know, Twitter and blah,
they want to
blah,
point
blah.
The finger at something or someone to get that.
It's like there's this like need for that, it seems, you know, and it's just a little crazy.
So it's funny because what happened was I set everything up, and as per the direction of the manager, right? Set it up.
Well, they knew you were.
Yeah, I knew what I was saying. So they let me go through this speech, and then someone from the left, I saw a guy coming from another department. He came over and wanted to know, I should have pulled this up, wanted to know what Adam's stance was on homosexuals. And I knew something was up, you know, right when that comment came out. But it just took me off guard because it's early in the morning, right? I mean, what am I supposed to say?
Yeah, but it's also has nothing to do with, I don't know.
What?
The wine. You know what I mean? It has nothing to do with his like, what you're representing, you know? But...
Yeah.
So there's a way you got to keep things separate, but I don't know. People just have a hard time doing that.
Well, I was looking for the article. To be exact what they said, they wanted to know what Adam's stance position was on LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender. Mm-hmm. And I guess Adam must have made some comments or maybe within his podcast or stand-up show or something to that nature. And then they right after that, the same gentleman fired in on me and said... Said that Adam specifically said that heterosexual parents make better parents than homosexual, right? And then, you know, that's when I said, hold on. I said, hold on. I was like, you know, I'm not aware of, you know, his politics on this subject, nor am I aware of which this statement was made or the context. And they were like, oh, no, he said it. He said that heterosexuals make better. And so I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, damn, I might think that. You know what I mean? I may or may not. I don't know who makes a better parent. Anything like that can be challenged, or anyone may have a position on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Some people might say, you know, this race or that race make... nothing makes... You have to ask the child, or you have to see when it's all said and done. There's no race to be the better parent. You know what I mean? Especially if you're a parent. You're not, like, looking at... You're just trying to be the best that you can be.
Exactly.
To get through the friggin' day or the minute or whatever it is you're doing to get through that task at hand. At the time is presented. So there's no race to say. But again, for me to acknowledge what was going on in this conversation, I couldn't really base it on anything because as I told them, I was like, yeah, I'm not here representing anyone's politics. Right. You know, I don't know, you know, what to say. I'm not here to offend you, nor was it my intention to offend you had I known. Obviously, you guys knew I was coming in with this product.
It's totally,
and my
set
job
up, man.
Yeah, and I was like, my job was to present this product and sell you this product.
Right.
And the manager immediately just looks at me and goes, well, you did a good job at that and you sold me on it. But I can't bring it in good conscience. And I said, I can respect that, and I do respect that, and I respect your position. I was like, but I would still on my end, I will make it a point to research, you know, what's been said, just so I know. But
they shouldn't have attacked you that way.
No. The manager said he was like, oh yeah, if the bartender was here or something like that, I'm curious to see what, you know, what you were going to say about that. And after I cleared it up, I'm like, you know, I mean, what is this like? I'm not Adam Carolla, but at the same time, I'm representing a product, of his. And I get it, you know, I mean, if your convictions are that strong and you don't want to buy his product, I can respect that. But it's the same people who say, oh, I don't eat meat, but yet they have leather shoes on. Or if they say, I don't go eat Chick-fil-A because of their stance on homosexuals or something like that. But I mean, how deep do we go? How deep do we go? Do you know what GE, the founders of GE, or Budweiser, or some of the liquor companies, or some of the major corporations, if we knew what was going on in their minds, we'd be nude. We'd be walking around nude. And
wouldn't be eating.
And we'd become a society where we just want to point the finger. Yeah. And we're supposed to be the people pointing.
We're not taking any responsibility. It's like we're still letting we're the minions of the corporations. We're the ones that are making it wrong, but we don't want to take responsibility. If we stopped certain things, certain consumptions and things like that, maybe we could, you know, or change the way we consume, or this change the way we view consumption and capitalism. Maybe something would change, but we're not there yet.
Yeah, and on top of that, you know, I mean, we're the people pointing the fingers are supposed to be holier than holy, and they're supposed to, you know, I don't do this, or I don't drive.
Nobody
is. You know what I mean?
Nobody.
I don't drive German cars, or I don't, you know, come on, get off your high horse, all right? All right. Now I can dig it, you know, with if
aren't
someone
you happy
is.
You have options. Like, this is a country where you want, like, how many different selections of different things, and you're still not satisfied. You know
and I still respect their position on it. But in the short time that I've had, you know, I've been working with Mangria and Adam Carolla, and the amount of time I've spent listening to his show, I'd say the majority of everything, any article that I've read, you know, about him, any controversial statements, they're all taken out of context. If you listen to the whole hour and a half program, it makes sense. And I can see where some stuff is offensive, like his stance on the African-American community. And he said his stance on that is simple. He said instead of pointing the finger and saying that it's poverty and hunger and issues like that within the community, he's like he would focus on family and education. Securing the family, you know, whatever that family structure is, securing the family where there's a two-parent household, he specifically said, and focusing on education. Now, coming from a white man, I could see why that ruffles the feathers of non-whites. You know what I mean? I can see where that would. You know what I mean? No one wants to be told how to run their community or family or anything like that. But
or
those
how
are
to raise their kids.
But that's the facts. That is a fact. You know what I mean? If you focus on those two things, then you start to build a unit. You have strength in the foundation.
It doesn't have anything to do necessarily with race. It's just education.
It could be any.
Family.
It could be any group.
Exactly.
It could be any group. Any group,
yeah,
family and education,
yeah,
community,
yeah.
These are just the basic fundamentals,
right?
You know, but again, and not only that, do we forget that he's a comedian?
Yeah, I was going to say. I was thinking about that earlier.
He's not a head of state. Also, he's not an elected official. You know,
yeah. People can't be funny anymore.
No, so that's that. What are you going to do?
People are very sensitive.
It is what it is, but it goes on, and I keep selling, and you know, I'm having fun doing it.
I was gonna say that's an experience, that's for sure.
You learn a lot.
Yeah,
you learn a lot. You learn a lot in life, and you just, you know, you just when one person says no, as far as the selling aspect of it, or gives you some negative feedback or just pushback, then you can. Regroup, and there's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 other people that say yes.
There you go.
So it doesn't distract me, though. I just keep on keeping it and see what happens on the next door I knock in on.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's good times in noodle salad. So, other than that, I took my son to see the Tom Cruise movie. Edge of Tomorrow. Yeah, second time I've seen it now.
All right.
Second time.
I still haven't seen it.
No, but maybe it'll mark number 3. Because I said after I saw it the first time that I would see it 3. Every summer there's usually a film that I'll see 2 or 3 times. Every summer. So
a blockbuster film that you go see that much? Yeah. Godzilla wasn't it this year, huh?
No, I knew Godzilla wasn't going to do it. Yeah, I knew it. I mean, you know, it's just... I mean, I knew.
We don't have to go back. We already did our review on that.
I knew after Cranston, you know, it's just.
It's cool.
It's got corny really fast. But they hook, line, and sinker, you know. They're able to get behind Godzilla and fuel it and say it's the best thing since sliced bread and it makes tons of money, but yet when something starring Tom Cruise comes along,
it makes more money abroad than here.
Because they recognize, you know, there's something about
I knew that was gonna strike a nerve.
There's something about, you know, my brothers and sisters across the pond. This is why they understand me. This is true. This is why they understand me.
That's fine.
You know, when I walk amongst people, they understand me, my brothers and sisters across the pond. But wait, hold that thought, people. Oops, I missed it. I was supposed to pick up the phone. I was getting a call. Yeah, I got to get a system. I need to get a phone system someone who mans the phone. You know what I mean?
I could have let you know. Why don't you? I have nothing going on in front of me except a glass of wine and my iPad.
I'm still talking and setting up the Tom Cruise segment. And I was trying to let the caller know to hold on or to come in. It's a whole thing. for the listeners listening.
They don't need to know this.
It's still an evolution, this podcast, and there's a lot going on behind the scenes. One day, we'll put it up on Ustream so you can see this havoc. You know what I mean?
Oh, Lord.
Let's see if we can get the caller back on the phone for a second and see.
I don't even know who's calling in.
We're going to take Fred Jefferson. Mike Jefferson, he has many names, is going to be joining us. So hold on for a quick second. All right. 1, 2. Yeah. So we're back. Yeah, no, right?
1, 2. Yeah.
Here you go. Hold on. Miriam is all over the place today. She's got the giggles because she's been drinking a little Prosecco. So on the phone right now, we got Mike J, a.k.a. Fred, a.k.a. Blair, a.k.a. Dutch, straight out of Flint, Michigan. What's happening?
What's happening,
man? Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. So I'm sitting here with Miriam Tazi.
Hello.
The great Miriam Tazi. I've been waiting to talk to you. Oh, my God. I fall in love with your voice all the time.
Oh, my God. Hi.
Miriam has fans all over the place.
And I have no idea. It's great.
Oh, man. It's super sexy.
Yeah. No. So for the listeners listening, this is my cousin, my first cousin.
Mm.
That's right. From Flint, Michigan. We grew up in Flint. We also spent time in many states together, traveling around, doing what we do as Riddle Boys,
mm-hmm.
raising Cain, raising
around. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No doubt.
Yeah.
So, no doubt.
So Mike J, what do you want to be called today?
Man, just call me Freddie Stone.
That's right, Freddie Stone.
That wasn't even one of the names you like brought up.
That's right. He's been known as Fred Stone also for a long time.
One drink in his home.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Fred Stone. So Stone, what does Stone represent? Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit what Stone represents out of Flint, Michigan?
Well, you know, Stone is like, you know, it's real hard. You know, when we come up at, it was like, you know, when we were kids, it was real easy, but as you got older, it was hard, you know, and it represents like, you know, I'm like Flint, like a Flint rock. If you strike anything against me, I'm bomb the spark, you know, start a fire. But, you know, when I was a kid, your father said I was fat, and I only had hair on the top of my head, so they called me Fat Fred.
That's right, from Fred Flintstone.
The name stuck.
That's right. So that's what we called you Fred growing up. That's what's up. And then we traveled around.
Oh, man, we had many adventures, right?
Yeah.
As long as I can remember, we were together. I remember one particular summer, I bought it was a starter pistol.
Oh, we were
in Oklahoma. And I didn't know anything about tear gas too much. All I know is that they had these little pellets. And Malcolm said, let me shoot it. So the wind was blowing. And he shot the starter pistol. The wind blew in his face.
I shot the.
Needless to say, they took my starter pistol.
Yeah, the starter. So just to give the listeners some backstory, our grandfather used to travel and take us, pack us up in his Lincoln Continental.
Yes.
And
he did.
And we would travel all over. We'd drive to Virginia. We'd drive to Oklahoma. Did you guys drive out to Denver? Or did you fly?
We did. We drove to many cornfields that year.
Yeah. So in this particular adventure that we went on, we went to Oklahoma, and we were down in Oklahoma visiting family, and I think we pulled over. When you pull over at the rest areas, you know, it was like an adventure as a child. So there would be, you know, arcade games, and you could buy stuff like handcuffs and whoopee cushions.
No doubt.
I don't think these things really exist much these days. I mean,
now it's fast food.
Yeah, you could go into like a place like Spencer's or something like that and pick up these items.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
I remember he picked
novelty
up.
Item.
Yeah, he picked up a it's a novelty item. He picked up a the starter pistol and you know, it just looked like a gun, a cap gun. So we were amazed by it, but it actually had some sort of smoke or I don't know. It was like a tear gas or something. And so the wind was blowing, and I decided to shoot it, but not using my Native American skills to know that the wind
direction
was
of the wind.
Right. So So when I shot it, you know, I had a firm grip.
Doesn't
you know
matter.
What I mean? I was taught at a young age how to use weaponry, and I took it and I shot it. When I shot it, the smoke from the gas just wrapped around my face like saran wrap, and the stinging sensation that followed was immense and very painful. Very painful.
That sounds similar to what my brother did with my. I had a pepper spray in Morocco. My dad had given it to me just in case.
Yeah,
and he was like, "Let's try it out." Sprays it onto a windshield, and it obviously bounces right back onto his face. Dumbass.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Same kind of thing. Where it's just like, okay, now I know what pepper spray's like.
There was a time in Flint, Michigan, where a friend of mine named Amado Saldana. We just for shits and giggles, you know, this is how fucked up we were. We would get tear gas, and then we'd go to like a Blockbuster or somewhere. You know how they have like the door where the entrance?
Yeah.
Well, we would spray it like Lysol or air freshener into the air, and then we'd go back into the car, and we would sit and watch everyone walk into the store. And the you know what I mean? The what's left
Stings.
Over in the app, yeah.
It still hurts.
And they'd be fighting, you know what I mean, to get it off their bodies. It was fucked up, people. Yeah. We were fucked up.
Mary, I remember one particular trip we took to Denver.
Yeah.
Malcolm's father made sure we went everywhere with him, right? So we're in Denver. And Malcolm had a bike. I don't remember if you remember the bike. With the banana seats and the sissy bars, and those were like the U bars. And we were going down a hill, and I was driving, and Malcolm was on.
He was
the
like,
handlebar.
Yeah, I was like ET.
We were speeding about 30 miles an hour. He was like, "Brad, turn, Brad." You know, somebody that weight you can't turn as a kid, so it's like a wind fence. And lo and behold, we smacked it to the fence so hard.
Oh, no.
And I can't breathe. And a woman came by. She says, "Are you guys all right?" I can't breathe.
You got that wind knocked out of you.
I felt bad.
Yeah.
I tried to turn it, but I couldn't.
Yeah.
But we had so many adventures together. I remember Malcolm was the first person that really introduced me to hip-hop music.
Mm.
You know, we went to get him for one summer. He came up. I believe it was 1985. And the first thing I heard was The Show. And I remember him coming on the streets, right? And I was like, you know, white and black culture wasn't really combined then. And I had some friends down the street. And I remember him bringing his big boombox. And, you know, my friend, you know, Dee Shram, she's white, and I love her with all my heart. But she came out, and they just started just bouncing. I was just like, wow, what's this phenomenal stuff that he's playing? And, you know, we went to so many concerts and everything together. Malcolm was like the guru of hip-hop. I mean, you know, some of the first gangster rap I ever heard was sitting in the back room in my grandmother's house, and he had these turntables, you know, the best turntables, and I remember him playing Ice-T. 6 in the morning, police at my door. And I was like, wow, what is this? And I remember him playing at the police. You know, it was such a great time to be alive in hip-hop. You know, I don't know what happened to that particular genre, and I'm not sure if what you would call music today, as far as that, is considered hip-hop. It's more of a, I don't even know what to call the music.
You can call it a branch.
It's so misogynistic, and, you know, it's degrading to women, and it influences drugs and the culture. I mean, you know, back then we were telling a story about what was going on in communities, but, man, it was just a great time to be alive.
Well, yeah. Now it's evolved, and you have to have it. Like, I have no disrespect to the state of hip-hop or rap music in a whole. Today, it's just going through an evolutional period. It may not, you know,
right.
It may not be what's talking to me, but it is talking to a generation,
right,
whether we know it or not.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, it's someone right now.
I agree with that.
Yeah, someone right now is being turned on to their version of The Show, and, you know, they're having one of those moments. But, yeah, music is... we've talked about hip-hop a lot on this podcast and music and how it's influenced me coming up. I mean, I remember just growing up, you know, just listening to my brother and my old man would be listening to Marvin Gaye and Motown, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And I'd be in mm-hmm. my room, you know, I'd be in my room trying to watch movies, you know what I mean, or draw something. But it, little did I know that stuff was absorbing into my into my being, into my
it's
my
soul.
Yeah, it's amazing because that's the stuff I listen to now, Prince included. You know, my brother would
Oh, yeah. He was a big Prince fan. I remember his brother, man. I mean, I love his brother, man. He's the first guy he showed me hanging around all the cats. But I remember one time we were at a dance, right? And they were like, "Jefferson, come get your cousin."
Another
I'm like,
name
man,
is
what, you know, what's going on? And my cousin's in there, man. He's doing Prince, you know? He's doing the whole Prince dance. I said, it's going to take us years to redeem myself. But I love him, you know what I mean? And I remember
so many
fond memories.
Yeah, we did the I mean, just that whole scene of music. It was amazing. I've talked on the podcast how I used to I remember being in the streets of D.C. like in the late 70s and early 80s, and I would be mm-hmm. all the other kids were outside playing stickball, football, boxing, and I was inside listening to Kenny Rogers. And I was
Miriam. You want to hear a story about Malcolm?
Uh-oh.
All right. This is the summer of 83. I was 12, and he was living in San Francisco, right? So I come out, and, you know, we're having a good time. And I mean, he stays in this fabulous house, of course, you know, it's in the mountains and the hills. And I think Return of the Jedi or something was out. So when you step out of this house, it looks like the Force of Endor.
To be correct, on point on that subject, that was in Mill Valley in Marin County where George Lucas lived.
Oh, wow.
And that is where some of the Redwood Forest was in Return of the Jedi. Please proceed.
Okay, he had to say that.
Okay. You know, whatever, I don't know all that. You know, I'm from the hood. So we're there, and we go to this chick's house that he knows, this young lady's, and I don't mean to call her a chick. We're at this woman's house, and, you know, Malcolm tells me, look, I got the record from Superman. So I look at it, it's got these, you know, these holographic S's on it. So I'm like, oh, my cousin's got the original record from Superman. So we go over to this girl's house. She's got this big, shaggy dog, right? First of all, I'm like, wait a minute. What's going on? So this dog's all over me. He's trying to hump my leg, right? And then they start listening to Superman music. And I'm like, man, what in the world is this? You know, coming from Flint, Michigan. I don't know what's the Superman soundtrack. It's not Star Wars or anything, but whatever it was, he's just humming along. I remember getting so mad that I walked out, you know, but my cousin's always been, he's been eclectic when it comes to music. You know, he's been a step ahead, and I must commend him on his podcast. And you too, Miriam, I think that you're a fabulous co-host, and I hope this continues to go on, because this is something that people need to know. It's just something different. You know, I'm in what you call Muskogee, Oklahoma.
Yeah, tell us about your travels. Yeah, tell us about Muskogee and you know, our background of Native American history, please.
Well, you know, our grandfather was a Creek Indian, and so when you come down here, you know, if Malcolm ever comes, there are certain benefits that you get being a Native American. And, of course, I never really looked into it, but as I grew and I started my travels I wouldn't even say middle-aged because I'm still young, but I came down here to a homeland, and I feel so connected. But they offer so many benefits, and it's Oklahoma is so wide open. People would think that it was just like nothing here, but in actuality, there's a lot here. And as far as blacks are concerned, this is one of the per capita richest areas once upon a time in America. My grandfather's mother was one of the five richest women. And, you know, you can check the census on it. Her name was Susanna Coffin. Five richest women in Oklahoma at the time. And we have a lot of land in Eufaula, Oklahoma. But I came down here and I ventured down here, and we have so much family. And I feel so connected. Everything. I really feel free. It's away from the hustle and bustle in the city. Sometimes I miss that. I do. But it's just getting back connected to who you are and where you come from. And I think once you know where you come from, you have a direct correlation to where you're going. And I'm following that. I'm in the ministry, and a lot of things I've left behind. But being here is just so.
Yeah, it's good.
It's great.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad. Yeah, you seem to be at peace with yourself. I mean, just give you guys, the listeners, some backstory. My cousin Fred, a.k.a. Mike J., a.k.a. Freddie Stone, a.k.a. Stone, and the list goes on. But my cousin, like I said, we come from the School of Hard Knocks. And you guys have heard me talk about Flint, Michigan, and how that that environment. And I love Flint, and I loved what Flint, how Flint shaped us and me. But
no doubt,
it can consume you, and being around a lot of the forces, whether good or evil, but there are a lot of obstacles in Flint, and to see Fred out there traveling the world now, out in Texas, out in Houston, not from Houston, but I rap a lot, but he's you know what I mean? To be back in the home country, to be around other proud Native Americans, it's
no
good
doubt.
To see, and it's good
no
to see
doubt.
That you are focused on the family
really
and family history.
That.
So, keep it up.
I really appreciate that.
That's what's up.
You know, now there's one thing that I'd like to mention. You had a guest on your show that was also from my city. We also grew up with close relatives. Well, I wouldn't say a relative, but he's like a relative. Is Rico Phillips.
Yeah, Rico was a good show.
That was so
Rico
good.
Rico threw the first Project X party that I ever went to in my life. It was phenomenal for a 15-year-old kid.
He threw parties.
The cultural diversity that we had in Flint, it was like, I mean, it was off the charts. I mean, yeah, blacks, whites, Mexicans, Orientals. You know, it's not like that today, but I'm so glad, and I thank God that I had the opportunity to be exposed to such things, to be exposed to different cultures where we just enjoyed ourselves. And I can honestly say that the majority of friends that I met when I was younger like that, we're still friends today.
You can
hit that Cedric Maskin out in California, a.k.a. Peach, he can give you some background too. But I got to go right now.
Jeez.
Miriam, yeah. I love your voice. Malcolm. Hey. I'm out here cutting these weeds out here with our cousin Trey. He's got like 2 acres, and I need to get on the tractor.
Yeah. Tell those brothers what's up. And are you going to back to the bricks this year in Flint, Michigan?
Yeah, I'll be. You know what, Miriam? If you get a chance to come with Malcolm, you know what? Come back to the bricks. It's a great atmosphere for Flint, Michigan. Of course, I'm gonna always pump my city. You know, it's where General Motors started. My grandfather, my paternal father, was one of the 5 founding members of the United Auto Workers, so I'm proud of that. If you ever watch Rocky, you get a chance to watch it. My uncle is the bald-headed trainer who trained Apollo Creed. That's my dad's brother, so I have quite a pedigree. And I'm not bragging on myself, but Flint, pound for pound, we produce it, baby.
This guy's all
we produce it. You know, ain't no future, it ain't no future in your foot. You know, understand me? We was just like that. But, big ups to this show, Malcolm. I hope to see you 20 more years or whatever it lasts, and Miriam, God bless you.
Oh, thanks a lot. Thanks for calling in.
And I'm out.
He's done. I cut him off. He probably would have got a third wind. What's up with this guy?
He had a lot to say.
Yeah.
He wanted to get it all in because he's like, I don't know if he's ever going to have me on again.
That's right. It's a gangster's paradise.
That was nice.
Yeah. He called in, dropped some knowledge real quick. Mm-hmm. High octane, that guy is.
Nice stories.
That's right. AKA. Yeah, he's got tons of stories. He's got about 5,000 more in his back pocket.
Nice.
And that's just the back pocket. But, speaking of that, he's down there in the motherland. Well, not really the motherland, but that's just where they grouped the Native Americans. I want to get into this real quick.
What's that?
I didn't have this planned, but it's a commercial that's airing right now. I'm going to play it for you guys listening. It's entitled Be Proud. Let me see if I got everything set right. Let's listen to it.
Okay. Proud. Forgotten. Indian. Navajo. Blackfoot. Inuit and Sioux. Survivor. Spiritualist. Patriot. Sitting Bull. Hiawatha, and Jim Thorpe. Mother, father, son, daughter, chief. Apache, Pueblo, Choctaw, Chippewa, and Crow. Underserved, struggling, resilient. Squanto, Red Cloud, Tecumseh, and Crazy Horse. Rancher, teacher, doctor, soldier. Seminole, Seneca, Mohawk, and Creek. Mills, Will Rogers, Geronimo. Unyielding, strong, indomitable. Native Americans call themselves many things. The one thing they don't.
Powerful. And they're showing a look at the Washington Redskins helmet that's drummed up, excuse the pun, a lot of controversy over that name. Powerful commercial.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. I did not, I haven't seen that before.
I don't know if it's running or did run, but...
But I think they're really considering changing it for real now.
Well, they should.
They should have never had it in the first place.
It goes without saying. I mean, yeah, it's kind of a double-edged sword.
It's
where,
hard, man.
Where I think we live in a society where we talked about it earlier with Adam Carolla, where when people say stuff, we kind of... you know, we're defensive, or we're just in this world where everyone is a little bit too sensitive. But something like this is pretty obvious. It doesn't get any more obvious than that.
That's,
I mean, what are you
holding
out?
Something that's different.
Yeah.
I mean, this is blatant, and it's not, there's nothing.
It's a smack in the face.
Yeah,
it's
nothing,
a smack in the face.
It's not like, you're being sensitive about this.
And for a lot of people that are fans, aka fanatics of the NFL. I mean, just shame on you. You know what I mean? If you're that caught up in the fucking sport, man, you know, I can just say go fuck yourself, because it's something that I find offensive, something I've always found offensive. And, you know, if you can't do the math, then, you just you need to get out of the way. I mean, it's a powerful commercial. It definitely, you know, touches on everything. That what it is to be the visuals, to be a Native American, and Native Americans, I feel in a lot of ways have been forgotten. You know what I mean? It's a story that people don't talk about.
A lot of people really don't know. Yeah,
they don't know. So it's you can Google it. Proud to be. You can submit feedback if you want. Find me on Facebook, Malcolm Riddle. Go to American Riddle Facebook page. Or shoot me an email at malcolm@malcolmriddle.com. I'd love to know your feedback on this subject. Plus, we need to start doing more feedback.
Yeah.
Questions and stuff like that, so I can podcast about it.
Have people more involved.
I want you guys involved. So if you guys are listening, you know, do it. Don't stop.
I'm sure they want to be involved.
And, it helps shape and build the program. But back to what I was talking about earlier about
Tom Cruise. Could not be forgotten.
You know, I'm looking at the clock. And
World Cup is starting.
Yeah, Mariam Tazi's missing the cup.
The you cup. Know what I mean? So, he's like, what does that mean? I'm like, really? The World Cup is starting? You don't know what that means?
Yeah, so
Sorry, go back to Tom Cruise.
It's Tom Cruise, man.
Yeah, the World Cup comes once every 4 years, and Tom Cruise is more important.
Tom Cruise is important.
Tom Cruise is more important than the World Cup.
Tom Cruise, like the Native Americans, has been forgotten. You know what I mean? People. She's laughing and spilling Prosecco
that
all down her
neck.
That
is not. Really, you're comparing Tom Cruise to the Native Americans?
This is a comedy show, Marion Tazi.
Okay.
And every now and again, I have to have a joke or two within the body.
A little bit of
comic relief. Yes, I have to have it within the body to keep my good standing with iTunes.
Okay.
It's listed under a comedy
show. That's true.
So,
okay.
you know.
It's good that I giggled at that then.
But, yes, Tom Cruise has been forgotten. You have to understand, this is one of the greatest actors of all time. No.
He's one of the most iconic Hollywood faces.
He is
the last action hero of all time.
But could he? Does he have the ability to hang in there with the Brando or some of the other greats of our time? Absolutely. Does he choose not to? He does. He chooses to take, right now he's just in all action mode. But he is the quintessential Hollywood action star, like Errol Flynn was before him, like Kirk Douglas was, Harrison Ford in his reign. I mean, there's been tons of action.
Maybe he's
going
to continue like Harrison Ford and keep doing it because he still
Cruise can still deliver. Okay, on that note,
I'm finishing.
Cruise can deliver. Yeah, I wouldn't mind having another glass of Prosecco after you've had three, but I'm not calling you out on the podcast or anything.
Yes, you are.
But I think that again, and goes back to what we were talking about earlier, finger pointing and people
judging,
and also assuming the role of holier than holy. I think they're making a colossal mistake by overly criticizing Tom Cruise and putting him into a form of prison where he's toxic almost, because people don't as soon as you mention Tom Cruise, Miriam's making a face at me.
I don't believe that he's seen as toxic. He's not like he's blacklisted or anything. He's still making movies and making millions of dollars.
He does, because he knows the math and he knows the formula
to make a film.
How much money is involved?
He's a Hollywood icon.
How much? Well, he's above
he's Hollywood.
Hollywood.
For me, he's like the epitome of Hollywood.
This is true. But, yeah, I don't argue that point. But he knows how to do the math. Knows how much the budget is. He knows every aspect of making a film.
Yeah, but it's a cookie cutter. You know, there's a little bit of a, you know.
He knows the formula. It's true.
It's too much of a formula. It's nice to be a little. I like when he does little off things. Magnolia. You know what I mean? Those kinds of roles.
Magnolia.
Like, those are kinds of things where I like him more.
Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, like different, you know, where he's like out of his comfort zone type, you know, his like typical
Jerry
role.
Maguire. You didn't like Jerry Maguire?
I liked it, but it's just that goes back into the cookie cut of Hollywood film that makes a lot of money and that is feels good and, you know, like...
Yeah, but they work.
They
work for me. Okay.
They do
so,
for you.
So
I like a little more
No, I agree
depth.
With you. I agree with you. I loved him.
That's why
I loved
foreign
him in,
films. You know?
I loved him in Magnolia. Should have got the Oscar for that. And I loved him in Tropic Thunder. I loved him in this one, Edge of Tomorrow.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's fantastic.
You said it was funny in this. That was
fantastic use.
I didn't expect that.
I did not expect humor in this movie. Yeah. I saw it twice, and even the second time, I was on the edge of my seat watching it. I just wanted to be sure, because sometimes, you know what I mean, if you're that involved with a character or an actor, you know what I mean, you could have a bias.
That's what I was wondering when you saw it the first time.
I'll see it the second time.
Still not convinced until I see it.
I'll see it a third time. But, I mean, the film itself, he stars alongside of Emily Blunt and... what? It's so funny.
Makes you think of the chick from Orange is the New Black and how you call her the cheap... What is it? She's the cheaper version of Emily Blunt.
Yeah, the chick on... I don't even know her name. Orange is the New Black. But yeah, she's the poor woman's version of Emily Blunt. Orange...
I just can't get that out of my head now every time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they do that on purpose, though, because that's part of the cookie cutter. If someone resembles or looks like or has something, she's kind of like... This is the formula that works in
looks
Hollywood.
Good on screen.
And it's not to knock, Orange is the New Black. I mean, that's Taylor Schilling is the actress we're talking about. But she does. To me, she resembles Emily Blunt. Why am I going to watch Orange is the New Black when I can watch Emily Blunt? And why am I going to watch Orange is the New Black when I can watch Weeds?
All right.
You know what
all
I mean?
Right, all right.
I got Weeds. I got the real thing. This is like Weeds. It's from the writers of Weeds. Look, man, I saw Weeds. I like Weeds. That's enough for me. All right, I don't need to see some broads in the joint. You know what I mean?
Don't hate just because it's women, okay?
No, I'm they're in a joint. You know what I mean? I just I'll give it a chance. I'll try to watch
it. You
got to
watch it from the beginning. You watch random.
Everyone
parts.
Talks about it. Orange is the New Black. No, Black is the New Black.
But it's like
what are you talking
it's
about?
It's a Netflix original. It's like House of Cards. You loved House of Cards, so Netflix is not going to fuck up one of their originals. It's not bad. You should check it out.
No station's ever fucked up one of their originals.
It's not a station. How many have they released? And you've watched the what is it, Lilyhammer? That was one that was really good.
Yeah, but I didn't watch the second season.
You just can't just keep up with all that.
It's
stuff.
It's too much. I mean, I'm in TV overload. I can't watch all these shows. But
doesn't mean that they're bad. Just
back to
you don't
Tom Cruise. So Tom Cruise. Okay.
All right.
Tom. All I'm saying is here's what I'm saying, people. For all you guys listening, because I'm sure
don't
you guys
give too
are,
much away, man. That's why because I haven't seen
no,
it.
No, I'm not going to give anything. It's okay. it's about an alien invasion. And Tom Cruise kind of plays a spokesperson to kind of promote and sell the war, to justify it, a la the invasion of Iraq or something like that. You know what I mean? And Emily Blunt plays this. She plays like a super soldier. She's like the face of kind of, the face of the military. You know what I mean? So they're trying to stop this this invasion from actually turning the tide of the war where the aliens win. So Tom Cruise is kind of forced into a position where he must invade the aliens on the beach storming Normandy. Mm-hmm. So it has kind of a feel of Saving Private Ryan meets Matrix meets Aliens.
But there's also like this loop that
meets Groundhog Day where he goes back in time and he has to repeat every day, which of course makes him smarter, makes him faster, makes him better.
Does he remember?
Yeah. And he's able to remember.
And he remembers
so he
too.
Can repeat everything. Therefore he won't make the same mistakes. It is. It's a nod
it's
to
gotta be entertaining.
It is Groundhog Day in many ways because it's even a nod because the character in Groundhog Day, the main character, her name I believe was Rita, and in this character, kind of a nod at Groundhog Day. One of the fun facts is her name was Rita.
Oh.
So there's little things that they've done. Right. They put little Easter eggs in there for you. But overall, it's a fun movie. It's a great watch. It's a summer blockbuster. So, it doesn't go too deep into time travel and where the aliens come from and, all this stuff. It just gets right to the point. You know what I mean? That's the point of summer movies. You know what I mean?
I know.
But it's fun to look at. Tom Cruise and I think Emily Blunt, they share a
good chemistry.
Wonderful chemistry. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Wonderful chemistry. Cruise is
just good. I like her.
She's great.
I like her.
She's great.
Yeah.
Emily Blunt has been in some fantastic films.
Yeah, I respect her as an actress.
None of which I can recollect off the top of my head, but I'm going to try. Yeah. If you can, maybe you can help me pull it up and see.
I can.
I had all this stuff in front of me. Sorry, people. But overall, I think the film works.
Looper.
Yeah, she was in Looper. Looper was great. Yeah, another great time travel movie.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorites. What else was she in?
Stuff that I don't really know.
I know them all. Emily Blunt. Sorry, people.
I don't know these films that much, but I know her.
All right, here we are. Yeah, she was in The Devil Wears Prada. Yeah. Great film. She was in the horrible film, The Adjustment Bureau, with Matt Damon. Terrible film. Very good story, I thought, and I was looking forward to it, but it just dragged. It just dragged, and it didn't end up too well. But she's been in The 5-Year Engagement, The Muppets, Your Sister's Sister, Salmon Fishing in Yemen, all the two of which I haven't seen, but I want to see. They're in my queue. They're in my queue just because it stars Emily Blunt. And then she was in The Wolfman. Now, this is an underrated film. The Wolfman starring the great Benicio del Toro, let me tell you. Benicio del Toro.
That came
Emily
and went
Blunt.
Really fast.
Yeah, yeah. Anthony Hopkins. Still a good, really good movie.
Was it?
I liked it. I like a throwback to the old horror films.
Right.
You know
so
what
was
I mean?
That?
I think Lon Chaney. Wasn't it Lon Chaney that played the original Wolfman?
Let's see.
The Wolfman. That's the beauty of this internet. 1941. Yeah. The Wolfman. You got to like that. Club, blah, 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 blah. Who played the Wolfman? Maybe that's not the one. Bela Lugosi. Yeah, Lon Chaney, right there. That's it. I knew I was right. I used to have these posters when I was a kid. My brother probably could tell this story because my older brother, he didn't like horror movies and stuff. He was into Motown music and stuff like
softer.
That. So we used to share a room. On my side of the room, I had these glow-in-the-dark posters of Frankenstein, it's Dracula. Freaky. And these are all back in the 40s. So there were these original prints like this one I'm looking at of the Wolfman, and it would glow in the dark. So my brother didn't like that stuff. But Lon Chaney. That's right. So it's a remake of the Lon Chaney. It wasn't so much like the Wolfman where he morphs into a CGI and it looks like a wolf. It's just a man with a wolf's head, you know what I mean, with some claws. So that's tough. With today's audience, stuff like that gets tough. And the audience is very critical, a la Tom Cruise, back to Tom Cruise. I mean, people, I guess, Tom
I think
Cruise.
People are just blurring lines.
I think, and the fact is, like again, the holier than holy aspect of it, whereas they criticize him because of his beliefs in Scientology and how he's implemented that in his lifestyle. But I always say, hey, if something works for you, let it work. At least you believe in something. I'm not here to look at someone's
he's not
political
Boston life. You mean
I'm not here to look at someone's political views, their sexuality, their religion.
It does become an issue, though. Like it's like people can't.
Yeah, but
separate.
You can't submerge yourself. You can't let that stuff.
People feed off of that, though. Like people feed off of that news. Yeah. You know, it's not even news. I use air quotes for that. But
I don't understand it. So, but it's something that I know. I go there to be entertained. I want to be entertained for those 2 hours or hour and a half or however long it is. And you know, I mean,
yeah,
Tom Cruise.
You lose the celebrity aspect of it, which is the gossip and the personal lives and their drama. You know what I mean?
Tom Cruise has delivered time and time again, and we just can't we can't forget it. I mean, who would forget this fine achievement in cinema?
I don't know if how many people are actually going to go see this.
What?
Edge of Tomorrow.
But I'm talking in general. This.
Oh.
So your folks are going out of town.
Just use your best judgment. You know we trust you.
Got the place all to yourself. A good time, Joe. In the privacy of your own home.
Just take those old records off the shelf.
That's her. She's fantastic. Yeah.
I sit and listen to them by myself.
Did you have a good time last night?
I had a great time.
This music ain't got the same soul.
You ever get high, Joe?
Don't let me do anything stupid.
Don't worry.
Baby.
Who's the U-boat?
And you're already moving to the music.
Well, it's classic.
Don't remember giving
it is. It's,
but Edge of Tomorrow, is that classic?
It will be. It will be. And it's funny you brought that point up. The film itself, I was watching it, and the second time around, I got it. Tom Cruise is making movies now that are going to be relevant 5, 10,
timeless?
15, yes, 5, 10, 15 years from now. When you look at The Edge of Tomorrow, it's going to play.
Smooth.
I know. I'm going to drop my equipment. Yeah. Shit. I get a little passionate talking about Cruise.
I can tell.
And that's why I'm going to start a podcast. I'm going to start a new podcast.
Are you really doing that?
I think I'm just going to incorporate
that's
it on this.
A lot of time.
I think I'm going to incorporate it on this podcast.
Yeah, it could
where,
be like a once a
yeah,
year.
Once a month. Once a month, Miriam Tazi. Once a month, I will do a Tom Cruise podcast. I think I'm just going to
that's
incorporate
that's a lot
it.
Still. Oh, no. Once every, like,
probably
quarter.
A,
why don't
probably
you do once
a
quarter? Once a trimester.
As needed. So it could be more than once a month. Could be more.
That's a lot of Tom.
Could be more. All right? But there are films in here, Risky Business, like the clip we just played. I mean, how good is that? Huh? How good is it? Be honest.
Yeah, but that's old school, Tom.
But it still plays. You can still watch it today. It's relevant. It's relevant. Okay. And then Tom Cruise. I'm talking. How many times have I said Tom Cruise on this podcast?
We're gonna count. We're gonna go like 75. Tom Cruise. You know, yeah. I don't know. I just don't find him.
A lot of people don't.
And it's not.
I'm in a minority.
I know you are, and there's a few people that I've spoken to. Like, there's a guy that I work with, and he was like, I'm in the minority. He says exactly the same thing as you. I'm in a minority. I love Tom Cruise. Nobody loves him. And I'm like, you need to talk to Malcolm. Like, you guys need to start your own podcast about this. But it's true. Like, I separate the personal, you know, like, I've given him more of a chance, and I've always liked him. But for me, it's like he's kind of the cheese of Hollywood. He's like the...
How is he cheesy?
Because he's just so, like, the poster boy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but what's wrong with that?
But like, then he turned into the Scientology thing kind of, like, became such a big influence, you know? And it's like, it was hard to separate the two, you know? But whatever, I don't even think about that. There's so many people in Hollywood that are Scientologists or whatever. That's their own thing. Like, whatever. But his movies, they're entertaining. You know, I enjoy them. They're... You know, they're fun, but are they, do they have depth? Do they have, like when you were saying, I want to see him in more serious roles, I would like to see him in more, I don't see him as a serious actor. I don't put him up there with Marlon Brando.
As of recent, you know, he's definitely going into more of an action mode.
Yeah, and he needs to stop that soon because he's getting old.
I would like to see him to do what Clooney does, okay?
Yeah.
Embrace his age.
Would be beautiful.
And do some more dramatic roles like Rain Man, like The Firm, a suspense thriller. You should watch The Firm, people. Jerry Maguire, which was a romantic comedy, stuff like that. I think people relate to, and then they can see that he's more relatable. Because, I mean, when he does talk shows and stuff like that, he has a few minutes to... Kind of show people.
He's very much so.
He was recently on the Nerdist podcast, and he's about an hour long podcast. But even the guys joked around. But I would have definitely asked, you know, more serious questions.
I want to see a more serious side to him. I don't feel like we actually really know him. I feel like he's very, even in his interviews, it's very rehearsed.
Well, that's it. That's what I'm talking about. But yeah, I'm, you know, it's no secret, you know, I'm a Tom Cruise fan.
No shit.
And, that's just the way it goes down. You got to be proud, people. You know what I mean? Be proud of
your convictions.
That's right. Your convictions, your heritage. If you're Native American, if you're American, even if you're not, whatever, whomever you are, doesn't matter. Be proud, right?
You
got to be proud. You know what I mean? Don't let the NFL bully you. You know what I mean? You know? Be out there like Mike J, Fred Stone. You know what I mean?
I don't know what to call him.
call him what you want. You know what I mean? Just don't get caught slipping. But yeah, I'd say definitely be proud. And I think Tom Cruise should be proud. So if he hears this podcast, I'm in your corner, Tom. I'm holding it down for you. And we're going to do a podcast. At least I'm going to do it. Miriam wants me to do it once a quarter. But, you know. I don't even know when the quarter is, comes or goes. I don't even know how that works.
Every few months, man.
I got to know. But you got to know, people. So, yeah, thanks for tuning in. We had a bit of everything on the podcast. Just a quick recap of what's been going down, what's going on. And, you know, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for your support. Thanks for listening. Miriam Tazi, thanks for drinking all the Prosecco.
Anytime.
That's right. And Mike J, a.k.a. Fred Stone, a.k.a. Freddie Stone, a.k.a. Blair Dutch. You know what I mean? The list goes on.
Jefferson.
Fred. That's right. Jefferson. Mike J. Jefferson. You guys heard it. Calling straight out of Oklahoma. You know what I mean?
Cool.
He's representing the people of Flint, Michigan.
Nice.
And and all you people tuning in from here to Cameroon, that's how we get down. So for Miriam Tazi, this is your boy, Malcolm Riddle, Domino Motherfucker.